75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and here we are, back live, and we have Dr. Listuri with us, and a little later on, we're going to replay an interview I did several years back with, he was the editor at the time of the Roswell newspaper. They had two newspapers at that time, afternoon paper and a morning paper, and he actually knew everybody at the airbase, including the commander, and it's a very intriguing interview, and the reason I'm playing it is, unfortunately, he passed away in the last few days, and we'll talk more about that later, but I want to go ahead and get into the show here, and before I do that, I do want to say one thing that, first of all, I appreciate all of the emails and letters that people have been sending us. And there's nothing like making that, little connection with the listeners. Well, you'll have plenty of things to talk about when you hear Dr. Turi. I'm telling you, he's quite a man and quite a guy. And he's on the line now from Phoenix. Dr. Turi, how are you?
I'm doing really, really good, and thank you again for having me, Jerry. It's always an honor to talk to you, my friend.
You don't mind me mentioning this, I don't think.
No.
You
no.
and I both have been colon cancer victims.
That's correct. And trust me,
and how are you doing?
What it feels like to be facing our mortality. When this happened to me, of course, I was in Thailand. I was lecturing out there, and gosh, that was incredibly difficult. But anyway, after a month and a half out there, and I lost a lot of pains, I came back totally free of cancer, and mostly because, and I would suggest you to do that if you want to, Jerry. I developed what you call the universal blood transfusion. Which means
Go ahead. Tell the listeners a little bit of how you survived, because you're doing fine.
Oh yeah. It's completely gone. It's in remission. Totally gone. First of all, I did not want to go through chemotherapy. I just refused it. Instead, couldn't wait to go home and start my universal blood transfusion. And that's pretty easy. I mean, cancer patient or not, it should be. Done every, at least once a week. Go to the store and go to the vegetable department and look for any type of vegetable or roots that you have never seen or never tested, and put your hand in it. Listen to your little voice. This little voice will never lie to you. Buy it, come home, and then juice it. it might be, testing just terrible, as simple as that. But once you juice all that and you put it into your body, it's like inhaling a tornado, literally, because there is no way that any cancer cell can survive in an over-oxygenated body or in a body which is loaded with natural components. So your body is actually missing some of those roots, some of those vitamins that you can only collect not only in fruits and vegetables, but in the roots that you have never tested in your life. So that's pretty much the secret that I made it a habit.
I want to make sure, Dr. Turi, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to make sure I understand. You're saying just start with a vegetable that you've never used before, never tasted. You put it in the juicer, is that right?
And you drink it? Yes. I bought a champion machine, which is designed to literally juice any hard roots. And the idea is to drink it. I tell you what, it's pretty disgusting. You might even throw up. I did it a few times at the beginning, but you might have to mix it with molasses or might be some honey or I don't know. But do not mix the fruits and vegetables. If you got to do with fruits, then, you know, do it with fruits. The idea is to let's be objective. If you have to eat 1 pound of carrots, you can't eat 1 pound of carrots, but you can juice 1 pound of carrot and drink it, so to speak. So you're getting much more nutrient and oxygenation in your bloodstream, and that, as I said, cancer cells cannot survive. So just it's better than to trust our infantile science and being cooked with radiation. And that was my choice.
Do you recommend a certain type of juicer?
I recommend Champion. They're pretty expensive, like $800. But they will juice absolutely anything that is extraordinarily hard and even very dry. And then, as I said, you know, it's time consuming because you have to do the work.
How does someone find out about these things, Dr. Ray? I mean, your suggestion that, in fact, you know by experience, it
exactly.
Heals you.
Yeah, because, you know, as I said, you and I know what it means to face our mortality. We are losing friends of our age and endlessly, and it's very painful. Like, you know, Roger earlier, my good friend Roger is gone. Friends. A few weeks ago, another friend of mine died of cancer. So this is a serious disease. And you know, I'm so lucky and very thankful for God to give me another chance so I can keep, you know, my mission. And if you recall, Jerry, last time we did a show many, many years ago, I was explaining to you that I had some UFO experiences, and they left me with a legacy to understand the working of the cosmic code, and that allows me, of course, to make undeniable, well-documented and dated predictions. So what I'd like to do later on is to give some dates to your audience so they can, you know, test the values of my claims.
You mentioned that show in which you talked about the UFO encounters and with the ET, and that's still available on our website, jerrypippin.com. Go to the UFO files, click on your picture and on the index there. I'd recommend people listen to that. That was an incredible show, Dr. Turing.
Thank you very much. But the impact, the psychological impact was so strong that they, you know, the very next day I start to draw all sorts of UFO symbol and astrological things. And I couldn't help myself to study Nostradamus 16th century methodology. And there was not one single inch in my house, my doors, my ceiling, my walls that were not painted with symbols. I'm sure you still have this picture on your website, I believe. And that's to tell you the incredible experience that I went through. I mean, that was number four. But you know what? You and I, we know, Jerry, we got better things to do than to make up stories about extraterrestrials. Trust me. At 64 years old, I passed that.
I got you by 10 years.
I know. And as I said, you know, I wish I could catch up with you and still be there in 10 years and talk to you. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you were so full of life when we did that appearance together out in Southern California many years ago.
Yeah,
I hope you're still have it. You haven't lost it, have you? You're still going strong, right?
I am a wildlife of energy. In fact, I do not know what to do. Mentally and physically, I'm a super bomb. I don't know if it's my universal blood transfusion, but Jesus Christ, you know, just now I already walk half a mile talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An interview I should have done a long time ago, and I don't know, Dr. Turi, we just never, you know, our paths cross, then they go away, then come back. But it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you, thank you. Well, you know what? I'm not going to those conferences anymore. I am a writing machine, and I have thousands upon thousands of people that read and learn through my Cosmic Cyber University, which is one of my websites.
Now, you got to tell me about that in our audience right now. The Cosmic Size University.
Well, this is what I call my Cosmic Cyber University. This is where I teach science, and my VIPs and whomever is curious enough, how God speaks to his children, how the universal code operates, and what creates the news, and why people do what they do in reference to Flight 370, for example. I can give explanation that...
you're one of the first guys I thought of when that came about, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, sure. But what I'm trying to say is... humanity is life is a constant process of changes. So humanity is slowly progressing into a new perception of the cosmic code and its relationship with God. Religion, as they are today, our representation of the deceiving age of Pisces, which has plagued humanity the last 2,000 years, and we are moving into the age of Aquarius, which is the age of the truth, of technology, of extraterrestrials, and it helps humanity to go against the archaic teaching of religion, which builds separatism and endless wars, and moving to a new perception of God. You know, in the Bible, it is said, I will talk to you, you won't hear me. I'll present myself to you, you won't see me. One has to raise his cosmic consciousness to understand the face of God and read the sign. That's why, again, it is said in the Bible that God created the stars and the heavens for more than the sake of beauty. He gave them to us for interpretation so we may lead a safer, more productive life. So this is what my Cosmic Cyber University is all about, is to educate people on their relationship with the divine and explore their cosmic identity. What I teach my student first is the word UCI. UCI stands for Unique Celestial Identity. At the very moment you take your first breath and you arrive on this dense physical world, you inherited a part of the universe that control your psyche. Of course, science do not understand that. Science is very limited. All the people that are atheists, the agnostic, the skeptic, the scientist, they're born with a very rational UCI, with a very rational, unique celestial identity, so to speak. And they cannot enter the archetypal realm of consciousness, so what they do not see or touch doesn't exist. But it's changing through my work. I'm making people aware of their relationship with the divine. And that's why I understood and I channel the pilot and the co-pilot of Flight 370 and explain exactly what happened to my VIPs. Yes, I do. You heard of astral projection or remote viewing?
Yes.
You need to have the perfect UCI to do that. It's like you're not going to teach Michael Jackson how to sing and dance. He was born with the gift. You've got to have a gift. In reference to Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, Madame Blavatsky, all these people have the head of the dragon in Pisces, which is not an accident. There are no accidents, only cosmic circumstances that produce this type of people and their career and their gifts. So I have that that cosmic nature, for the lack of words, and I'm able to tap into supraconscious in time and space, and through my dreams see things, and then wake up in the middle of the night and start to write. In fact, I never learned English. I never learned how to type, and I type faster with two fingers than what people can read, and I'm a writing machine. I never stop writing. I can't even help myself. So these are gifts that are induced at birth through your UCI. So you have a unique celestial identity, Jerry, and so is Frazier Glenn Miller, which is this guy who actually, the white supremacist guy that killed a bunch of people at the Jewish center. You heard of the news, yes?
Yeah, right outside of Kansas City.
That's correct.
Right there. Now, and the last night.
So I just finished a newsletter for my VIPs, and again, to your audience, if they want to check my latest post, I put some of this newsletter, this Cosmic Code newsletter, to the public. All they got to do is go to drcherry.com and click on post. But this guy, Frazier Glenn Miller, was born in November. November is the month of Scorpio, which is the sign that rules death and drama in the police. On top of that, he was born with Mars, the Lord of War, who regulates weaponry, knives, and guns into the sign of Scorpio, making the situation very, very sensitive. So all of those born in November are either the Eagle, that means the physician that saves life, or the lizard, the killer. So there are people that are born killer, as simple as that, or terrorist. But most importantly, this guy was born with the moon, which is the emotional response to life, in the supercritical, cynical, perfectionist sign of Virgo, which means he's a puritanical. And the situation is getting worse because now he has Saturn, which is the fear principle in facing the world in the sign of Taurus, which is the sign that regulates money or Merrill Lynch Corporation using the bull subconsciously to represent strength. So, knowing that he had the fear of being controlled by the bank and he saw the Jews as the power and the money, he now let his dragon steal. His dragon steal is in the sign of Aries, which controls his past life, and Aries rules Germany. So this guy was an SS, a Gestapo SS, and he was working in burning the Jews in Auschwitz in Germany. And I can read this. It's so easy. But when you have our science, which has not been trained to read the hieroglyph of the universe and constantly hide their ignorance behind the word ridicule or pseudoscience, there is no way that the psychical welfare and the progress of the spiritual welfare of humanity is going to get anywhere. But I've explained all this in great detail. So again, any one of your listeners willing to learn a little bit more about this crazy guy, they can read all the detail from my website, drcherry.com, and click on post. And they can also read all about what happened to Flight 370.
Well, let's talk about Flight 370 for a minute. You said you channeled actually the pilot and the co-pilot?
Correct. Indeed, I actually...
Can you tell me a little bit of what's happening there?
Well, basically what happened is I went fishing with my wife because this is how I regenerate. I'm a Pisces, so I like the water. And then we got pretty burnt out, so I went back and then I fell asleep on my couch. And that's when it happened. Okay, first of all, you have to understand that the pilot himself was a Leo. And famous Leo, we can talk about Michael Jackson. He was born in August. We can talk about Whitney Houston, also born in August. Both of these people died because of drugs and alcohol. And in case of Whitney Houston, of course, in the water. Not to forget Osama bin Laden, which was a Pisces who died and ended up in the bottom of the ocean. So this guy was born in August. Now, what's interesting with this guy is that he was born with the tail of the dragon in Pisces, in his eighth house of death. And what I saw is him. He was in the cockpit. Everything was fine. He dimmed the light. The flight was going as normal procedure. And then I saw him taking a flashlight from the pocket of his shirt, and he's lighting up a picture of his wife, his kid, and he was crying. He was trying not to cry, but I could feel his pain. And at the same time, I looked next to him, and I saw the co-pilot. He was asleep. I said, how can that be possible for the co-pilot to be asleep? What happened is, when you have such a UCI, drugs is your first weapon it's just a natural, because a magnet will attract a piece of wood. If you vibrate at a certain speed, you're going to attract the energy that you vibrate at. It's common sense. What he did earlier, I saw him putting some of the pill, the sleeping pill that he had, he put it on the drink of the pilot, and I don't think it was coffee that he was drinking. It looks more like tea.
And now he put that on the drink of the co-pilot or the pilot?
Yes, no, in the co-pilot, and he's asking
okay,
all the
okay.
So that's what he does. Now I see him also playing with all the electronics. Took him quite a while. And he finally managed, and he took the autopilot off. I see him doing this. I see him moving around. Then he turns a sharp left, and I'm looking at the clock. I mean, I have all the detail again on my website. And then he himself, as he was going down and depressed, I saw him taking the pills too. Now, his co-pilot was trying to be alive, and he made a call. The very last call was from the co-pilot. The co-pilot, with whatever energy he had left, knew something was very wrong in the cockpit, and he tried to warn the authorities of what was going on. However, he was so under the power of Neptune, which is drugs or antidepressant, or in this case sleeping tablets, that it was very easy for the pilot to see him and remove the cell phone from his hand. Then the pilot flew the plane manually for as long as he could until he fell asleep. And nobody, not a single soul, but the pilot and the co-pilot knew what was going on. And that plane hit the water at over 600 miles, 700 miles per hour. And what's happening is none of the person inside the airplane, nor the hostesses, knew or felt anything. In fact, everybody was asleep, or much of the people were asleep. So when you look at it, this is not making up stories. This is confirmed through the cosmic code jurisdiction and my expertise in the last 50 years or so that I've been digging into the cosmic code, the result of all the legacy left by the extraterrestrial, digging putting that awareness into my psyche.
Do you have any idea why? I need to get it straight in my mind. In your vision, you were laying on the couch, right, at your home?
Yes, I was laying on the couch, and I woke up, and I went and wrote immediately, because you can only remember your dream for so long unless you're being trained. And I trained myself to remember your dreams. And you got to be careful, because you do have the prophetic dreams, such as this case, because I subjected my subconscious to give me that information. And remember, I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, so I understand the working of the superconscious and the subconscious in time and space. But, for example, you also have the associative dream, which means that if you're asleep and you hear your dog crying or barking outside, you may associate your dog having an accident, and you wake up in fear that something happened to your dog. That's called an association of dreams. So you got to be very careful, because there is just a very thin hair between divine, psychical and cosmic information and pure imagination. So unless you have the background, unless you have the stars, not education, because it is a big difference between education and intelligence or a gift. But if you have all this information, you can disassociate what's real to what's not real. And in this case, I can also guarantee another thing, is that, first of all, this pilot was not at all fine when he took the plane, because of the emotional nature of what was going on. Secondly, he was very, very much in touch with what's going on politically, because of his stars, did not necessarily agree with the government, knowing one of his friends was about to go to jail or something was going on politically with him. And he actually left a note. The government knows exactly. It is a joyride and it is a master suicide. but they cannot divulge the truth to what really transpired that night, because you're talking about billions of dollars on business that could be affected negatively because of the lack of trust for the consuming public flying left and right. Do that make sense?
Now you're saying who could admit the act? Was it the pilot or the co-pilot?
It is the pilot. The pilot.
Okay. Now he was. I know he was politically involved with the other side, the people that were not in power.
Big time.
But all his neighbors,
and he was also suffering some serious emotional stress with his wife and his mistress, which he called before he left, before he took the plane.
What did he tell her, I wonder?
Well, that I did not go there because it was not there. I was in the cockpit. I was not anywhere else when I
understand.
But
so you're saying the pilot consciously took the drug so he'd pass out?
Exactly. He gave it first to his pilot.
And he gave the co-pilot something too?
Yeah, exactly. He did. He actually drugged the co-pilot first, so he could play. So he could manipulate the plane and took it off the autopilot to turn west, to turn towards the Indian Ocean. So he was fully conscious. And again, you have to remember, a week before, there was a new moon in Pisces right on his eighth house of death, and that is total mumble jumble for our non-cosmic conscious scientific community. We cannot make no sense because they lack the tools. Science has separated itself so much from the spirit.
So he turned those transponders off, or somebody did.
He did.
I guess he had drugged the co-pilot before he did that even, huh?
Exactly. And he had it all planned because, you know, you have to remember, when you have the moon in Pisces and the tail of the dragon in Aquarius like he had, you're very humanitarian at heart. You're a very sensitive person. And the proof of that is that he died. He died in the name of his own emotional nature. But he didn't want anybody to know anything or to suffer. And he knew that all these people were going to be deep asleep when the plane was going to hit the ocean. He knew it.
And he made a point to fly itself on the autopilot. And so he knew that if he drugged himself too.
Right. He
couldn't change his mind.
No. He, you cannot change your mind once you have, when you have this type of chart of UCI, you're so deceived. It's like trying to tell a terrorist not to blow up himself, or a drug addict not to take his drugs today. You're not in charge of your psyche anymore. I see him taking the plane off pilot, and I see him trying to put it back up in autopilot once he is towards the above the Indian Ocean. So then I'll walk up. But it is 150% sure that he took everybody in a joyride and killed everybody. And again, the government knows from A to Z what happened on that day. And even if they found the plane, they will find excuses. They will find any other motive, because you know, they have no other option than to lie to the consuming public, because you are at the mercy in an airplane of a pilot that has his in charge of your life. So this is very serious, and it could affect the business drastically, and they don't want to go there. Yeah, plus the government will never let you know that extraterrestrials are very real.
You can actually, match up what he just said against some of the news releases, and some of it does match if you're staying in that time frame.
But you know what, Jerry? First day, the first second I heard, and I was able to find his UCI or his unique celestial identity, I checked the stars, I immediately knew it was a mass suicide. I mean, I predict the one that took place in Rancho Santa Fe a week before on radio. It's just insane. But it's there. Yeah. There is no other way. Sad enough, as I said, our scientists
let's get into some of the details, Dr. Turi, about the dragon and exactly explain that. Most people are familiar with you, but not everybody.
Explain
to people what exactly you're talking about.
Well, the dragon is a cosmic fluid. You probably heard of the word lunatic, moody, and crabby, and in time of a full moon, people are going crazy. This is a fact. The moon is strong enough to move billions of tons of water, affect your body because you're made of 85% of water, and affect even the fault in creating earthquakes. That's why I'm going to give you a date for the next big earthquake. I always hit them dead on. Doesn't mean that USGS or NASA are going to contact me, even with proof of my predictions of large earthquakes. Undeniable, because he stated and in the email. But let me explain what the dragon is. It's that fluid. And the dragon last 2 years was in the sign of Scorpio. And Scorpio regrets death and drama. It regrets also secret. And that's why you have, you know, all these politicians treating each other like hyena with no respect or whatever. They're just digging into others' mess and sex life and put everything to the light. So that's Scorpius Draconis. And you can also Google Scorpius Draconis and read all my predictions last 2 years. Every one of them took place. I have the long set of prediction. That's the beauty of being Dr. Turi, because you can check my claims. I put the green where my mouth is. So this dragon has also forced people to do some very serious soul searching, and the world slowly raises spiritual values and investigates death, metaphysics, astrology, and all this mystical stuff, bringing all this TV shows about secret and drama and all that thing, including sex. There's an explosion of sex. So this dragon is now gone. And only a few weeks ago, the new cosmic energy, or the new dragon, the energy coming from the south and north node of the moon, or the constellation of Draco combined, this dragon now is in Aries. Now, Aries is ruled and controlled by Mars. Mars is called in Greek mythology the Lord of War, and Mars rules Germany. So it was very easy for me in June 12, 2013, to write all my predictions about fire, about firemen losing their life. Next thing you know, 2 weeks after I made this prediction, we lost 19 firemen right here in Arizona. Another big huge fire took place yesterday. So this dragon is the essence of the spirits of Hitler coming back to haunt human psyche. And this is why you had this crazy guy, Frazier Glenn Miller, who went and started to shoot a bunch of people at Jewish Center. How come? Back in June 2012, I'm giving you all the information on how to expect news about Hitler, about invasion. The next thing you know, fire all over the place, people killing people, and of course, Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine. I mean, this is practically impossible to ignore if you dig into my work, if you're curious, and if you started to do your homework.
Yeah, so, yeah, I want to talk to you about the Putin thing. I mean, they're fighting now. I mean, they're literally killing people.
Well, basically, I said people born in April and people born in October are the direct victim of the dragon that will change their lives. Do you know the four major news that took place lately? Those people were born in April and were born in October. I can point out those. I don't have it right here, right now, because. It is not an accident for Hitler. for a Putin born in October. Pardon me?
Dr. Turi?
I am here.
Yeah, the thing that amazes me about Putin is that on one hand, he looks like he's lost his mind riding a horse with his shirt off and taking videos of it and things like that. What's going on there?
I'm telling you, he is a Libra. He is a direct target of the dragon, but it is not cosmic conscious. That means he faces the world as an Aries. Aries, or the seventh house, is open enemies and is the house of contract and partnerships. With the tail of the dragon in this house, he is not him. He is a peon of the stars. He is a robot of the stars. There is no difference between Putin, Obama, and 99.09% of the people walking this earth. They are all cosmic and conscious and robots of the stars. How is it possible for Putin to realize he's being manipulated by the stars, forcing him to invade another country? But people can only relate to me because of their education, their intelligence, their education, their experiences, and most of all, their UCI. So if the UCI is not advanced, is not spiritual, they're going to laugh at me because they cannot. If you don't learn French, if you don't learn Japanese, Chinese, if you do not learn to read the cosmic code hieroglyph, it's a language that only me and my students will understand. And that's where the problem is. The world has to raise into this understanding of a new God cosmic consciousness, which is changing the world. You know, I know, life is a constant process of changes. And the humanity's psyche and perception of its reality is changing at the speed of light with the new age of Aquarius, with people like me, with my cosmic cyber university, teaching people from all over the world about the cosmic codes. And that's where it is. Putin. Go ahead.
Go ahead and talk about Putin, then I'm going to ask you about the cosmic university a little more.
Well, basically, what's happening is Putin is a robot like you and I. We are robots of our stars. In the battle between emotions and logic, emotion will always win. That's why you have people that kill each other. That's why you have road rage. That is because their UCI, their stars are extraordinarily strong. And they... The scientific community, when they see people like me, when I was a kid, they said, you know what, Mrs. Turi, your son is crazy. ADD did not exist then. All this medication did not exist then. ADHD didn't exist then. And then they said to my mom, we have to slow down Louis because he's amusing the class. I was born with so much mercurial and physical energy that I couldn't stay in place, and I still cannot stay in place. So the only way to fix my brain then was to use electricity. You remember that, because you're my generation also. This is how they fix people. So now there is a new scientific research that was done to help the kids who are sleeping at school. What do you expect? They give pills to those kids to slow them down and turn them into zombie, and then they now have another pill that you're going to buy to make them more alert. During those days, this did not exist. During my days in the 50s, when I was born in the 60s, my mom says to my teacher, you know what? Louis is a ball of fire. He will burn his batteries. I don't want him to go through your medication or through your, not through medication, but through the electrical. Sorry about that.
I hear a doggy. What kind of dog is that?
So but what I'm trying to say is we have created a generation of scientists, and you can Google a generation of OCD. Those kids, They think they know better than God. They think they know better than the cosmic code. And they invent a bunch of pills, and then you wonder why kids are all born autistic. They don't have common sense. That is terrible. They trust their science. They trust the religious community. And the next thing you know, the entire human psychical welfare is depleting. And as I said on George Norrie's show, I said, George, we only have 50 years, my friend. If we do not turn things around and start to reintroduce the tools and the face of God, a God that the scientists do not believe and ridicule, and a God that the Christian do not know nothing about, the cosmic God. And that's why there is a separatism. They all go in their own way looking for God. They know nothing about God because they don't understand that God speaks through the sign. And that's where the problem is.
Now you teach all this in this Cosmic University here. Do you have semesters, or can anybody start at any given time on the internet, or how do you do that?
What I'm going to do, Jerry, first of all, like I do with all the people that help me to pass on my message, I'm going to send you an invitation so you can join the Cosmic Code, okay? But you know what? As I said, I'm 64 years old. It took me so many years to assimilate the working and the dynamics of the universe. The best shot, if you want to learn, is to get my home course. I have a home course made of 16 CDs and DVDs and all my books and exams that will graduate you as an astropsychologist. And trust me, I do have accrediting psychiatrists that took my course and told me, Dr. Turing, I have learned more in your crash course at home than 7 years in college. When you get this type of endorsement, it makes you realize that you're right. So,
how do they get these CDs and things? Have you got a website or something, or do you have a telephone number?
No. What, as I said, it's better if you take the course, the home course, because I don't travel anymore. You know, I'm about to retire. Next year I will retire. So I'm not planning to do more live course, but it's like spending, 6 or 7 or 8 hours a day with me for a full week. When you listen to the astropsychology course, and then you graduate at the end. But in between, if you want to learn more, then you have to become a VIP of the Cosmic Code website. So basically, I am offering.
What is the address of the Cosmic Code website? Can they just Google that, I guess, and find you?
Well, basically, the Cosmic Code website is. It's very, very simple. It's www.cosmiccode.drturi.com. And okay. What's going to happen here, I only have 8,000 people right now, but every single day I'm getting more and more people that actually,
somebody's calling to join right now.
Every single day, this telephone doesn't stop. What I'm trying to tell you, I am going to offer your audience the deal of a lifetime. Normally, to become a cosmic coder and to learn and to read all that good stuff, you have to pay about $100 a year. I'm going to offer anyone that. Call, but no now, please, because we're in the air, okay? Anyone that call and said, I am from the Jerry Show, okay? Jerry Pippin Show, if you're calling from the Jerry Pippin Show, you will have to pay only $25, and you're going to be with us for a full year. But there is a trick, though. There is always a trick. Once you join, you're going to stay, because you will not be able to deal with life without knowing
they can call you or what? Email you? Go to your website or what?
Well,
you get this offer.
Well, if they want to, is to call me. Let me give the number, but please do not call now. Okay?
Folks, get a pencil and paper, and I'm going to give you some numbers here. Dr. Turi, give his number first because it's the most important. He's our guest in our home. and which is in cyberspace and has been for many years.
Thank you.
You know, Dr. Turi, the Internet itself has exploded really even beyond what a lot of people have ever dreamed could be possible.
Well, basically, this is due to the Age of Aquarius. The Age of Aquarius is now taking over the Age of Pisces. The last 2,000 years, the world was controlled by a planet called Neptune. And Neptune has created 875 different religious denominations, but Neptune is a very deceiving type of planet. I teach all this on the Cosmic Code. But as of 1945, the new Age of Aquarius is taking over. Aquarius rules a sudden release of energy, nukes, technology, television, new age, UFO, the impossible, the incredible, the future of humanity. So this new age allows me now to talk to people that once upon a time were under the jurisdiction of the church only. The church monopolized all the information, telling, do not talk to Dr. Turi because you're going to go to hell. Not knowing, of course, they are already on hell. They're not going to go to hell. They are in hell in their fears and their ignorance, their cosmic ignorance of what God is all about. But that's the purpose, so to speak. So with the new age of Aquarius, you and I, through the explosion of technology, we are able to reach people and educate them. That is the mission of God, to bring together, to bring all the people together. Imagine 1 second, Jerry, if all the pilots of the world were to fly their airplane with their religion and with their language, in their language only. They could not even take off, for that matter. And so the new age of Aquarius is bringing everybody to respect a very set specific laws and speak only one language, the universal language, which is English. But there is also a coin has two faces, a physical and a spiritual faces. Okay? So there is a universal language in progress, which is called the Cosmic Code, which is going to change the entire perception of God's face and God's tools. We are in the process of building a new religion that is not going to separate you because you're Christian, you're a Jew, you're Muslims, and you speak your different language. The new age of Aquarius unify and bring, and Aquarius, or the planet Uranus, who control the sign of Aquarius, is a very intellectual. It's a genius type of energy. That's why you produce the internet. While Neptune is more of a dreamer and very deceiving, so to speak. But Neptune had his round last 2,000 years and created the Vatican. Now we need to go somewhere else. And the world is moving in that direction, and the internet is the perfect platform. That's why I'm so successful in all over the world, because people regenerate with my information. They realize that I do have something, especially when I give dates. And later on, I want to do that for you where they can check.
Let's give all those numbers here, if it's okay. First of all, Dr. Turi, it's your turn. Tell people I can get a hold of that issue. The thing you used to offer for $25 is, that leaves me speechless. That's a big discount from $100.
Well, I do that for your audience, and you know what? These people will always talk to their friends, and that's going to help me to pass on my message. I'm not doing this for the money. I am emotionally, financially, and spiritually secure. I'm doing it to help people. So, again, the number to call is 602-265-7667. Please do not call now. I repeat, 602-265-7667. But you're going to get a much faster result if you email turitrue@gmail.com. Turi, T-U-R-I, true, T-R-U-E, @gmail.com. If you do that, you're going to get immediate attention. If you call,
okay,
you're going to be online.
Don't call, folks, until after the show. And as he says, you'll get better attention with email. But either way, I hope you got your pencil and paper and call him after the show. Give that number one more time just for
the heck of it. 602-265-7667 or email for immediate attention at turitrue. turitrue@gmail.com.
Okay, now, folks, I want to give you a number here that you can call right now if you want to. That's how to get into the show, 888-919-2355. 888, toll-free, 919-2355. We had someone who had called in. They wanted to ask a question, and they've gone, but phone lines are open right now. One line is. And so feel free to call if you have a question for Dr. Turi. And the caller that had to leave a while ago, they basically wanted to know about what gifts that you have. How did you – let me see exactly how to phrase this. They wanted to know when you realized you had a special gift.
Well, first of all, the gift is inborn, but you know, like a plant, you got to have enough water, enough sun for it to grow and to mature into what it became. But that gift was sleeping until 1984, when I arrived in this country. Didn't go anywhere until 1991, when I had my utmost incredible UFO experiences, when I was abducted above the city of Los Angeles, brought into a flying saucer, sat in a little room, and something come from the ceiling of the flying saucer, if you remember, Jerry, and that kind of a helmet got into my head, covered my eyes, and then I had things done to my head, and that's where I call the downloading of the cosmic code jurisdictions. And soon after that, that's where I started to couldn't help myself to study about Nostradamus methodology and study astrology. Before that, I was into construction, and I was playing in a band.
Yeah, you're quite a musician. You're pretty good.
Well, I graduated from the Royal School of Music in London, and I came to the United States because I wanted to do music. And then once I had it all in my hand, once I visit, I can't remember the name of the company in L.A., they told me to bring all my musicians in L.A. and remake the disc. During those days, we didn't have any CD. I turned them down. I said, no, because I already felt there was something bigger that I could not put my hands on. And trust me, it happened in August 11, 1991, when I had took the trip with my wife into the belly of a flying saucer. And I came back from that trip, I was not the same man. Even physically, I've changed. It's not, if you look at the picture
really?
Of
me. Tell me about the physical changes. I don't know if we discussed that part.
Well, basically, if you look at the picture that you have on your website,
yeah,
with
mm-hmm.
all the painting that I did on the wall, if you get that guy face and you look at me today, you can go to any of my video or my website and you can look at me today. I don't even remotely look like that person. It's crazy. I don't even look my age. I'm 64 years old. People think I'm, what, 45?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you were about that.
It's crazy.
40 and 45.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like if I was born on that day on a very different level, as a different person, with a very different purpose. I cannot put my hand to it, but what I teach my students is that, you know, incredible experiences breed incredible people that have incredible, you know, gift to share. And that's what I'm doing with you, literally.
Yeah, yeah, these people that are the entities that you ran across on the UFO, the flying saucer, I get the impression you thought they might be from another dimension, as well as in a planetary.
Well, basically, they look exactly the same than the one that gave me a tremendous headache for weeks when I got lost in the mountain taking my sister to work around 4 o'clock in the morning. Those three huge guys, the men in black, what you call the men in black.
Yes.
I would say the same guy was there in the flying saucer, but they didn't have the same type of clothing. I'd see them more as the tall blonde type of
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, Jerry. It's just amazing. And the legacy that they left me. In fact, I'm going to give you some dates now. So I'm going to ask you to write it down. Okay. And as you know, people don't have a short memory. So I'm going to give the dates of tomorrow, after tomorrow, and after tomorrow. So April 15, 16, and 17. Okay. I want you to write down those dates. And I'm going to read a quatrain that I wrote for these 3 days, and I'm going to give you the keywords. The quatrain is hidden secret sex, money come to light, raw power challenge, police deadly villains, ugly face of death, drama or surface, nature man's religion, bloody folly reign. That is the quatrain. And the keywords are Russia, famous death, dramatic news, police news, FBI, CIA, secret, scandal, terrorism, finance, sex, serial killers, and wake-up call. I have this quatrain on my website, of course, for people to look at it. But basically, what I'm translating here is a very, very deadly energy that is coming on April 15, 16, and 17. Obviously, if you read the quatrain and the keywords, you know that Russia will make the news, the police will make the news, drama, death, wake-up call. This is serious. So now you have an option to actually judge my claim and to realize if what happened to me in this flying saucer when the extraterrestrial downloaded the cosmic codes secret in my brain. You are going to have a solid proof for yourself that what I'm telling you is true and should be heed as very, very valuable warnings for the world. I'm going to give you another date a little bit down the line on April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Again, what I see on those days is more of a sudden release of energy, news from the cosmos. Don't try to rationalize with me as I translate the energy, okay? Very, very sudden release of energy means tornado, volcano, very large earthquake. When I give dates like those that I give you, April 15, 16, 17, and April 23rd, 24th, and 25th, those earthquakes will always be above 6.0, always. So on April 23rd, 24th, and 25th is more of a shocking nuke. I see nuke energy, nuke news. I see Japan. I see airplane. I see 370. You know, when I channel information like this, it's very, very hard for me even to remember where I am, to tell you the truth. But
that sounds pretty dangerous.
It is intense. We are moving into those two SOS window to the world, and that's what you get when you become a VIP. You get a full explanation of those windows, the methodology I use. And the beauty is, as the news transpire, I go back into those dates and refresh your memory. So next time I put another window, it is actually easier for you to assimilate the information. But ultimately, Jerry, this is probably the most important moment in your show, okay?
It sounds like it.
It is not something that we cannot beat. Remember, God did not put us on earth to suffer such a dramatic end. There is forces above our heads that can be controlled. And at the same time, you can alter humanity's destiny. So what I'm trying to say here, you cannot blame me, the messengers, for humanity's stupidity or not understanding the signs, the face and the tools of God, and creating their misery through all this dramatic, deadliest news, including natural disaster. Do not blame me. I'm just a messenger. But I also have the key on how to actually avoid all this and live a safer, very productive life. But that is in 50 years, if, as I said to George Norrie, we make it. Again, on my website, drturi.com, there is a lot of links where you can see the TV show I did with George, where you can read my predictions. And if you become a VIP, you're going to be even more taken care of in understanding how grave the situation is and how little time we have to turn things around by using the supraconscious creative forces at our advantage. We are not doomed. Regardless of what I just said, you've been through those, you know, SOS windows so many times. When I predict the Asian tsunami, 9/11, Katrina on national radio, when I give all those days, weeks before time. So you've been already through those windows. Humanity is not aware. We're creating it.
Do you feel like there's going to be a combination of disasters, so to speak? I mean, it sounds to me like it's a pretty serious situation here coming up.
You heard me, Jerry. You heard me. Hey, then you know what? There's a lot of skeptics out there, and there's a lot of people are afraid because they know when I say something, usually it's like money in the bank. Okay, this is scary. Okay, but at the same time, I want people and your audience to realize that if they knew how to handle the supraconscious in time and space at a common level, we don't have to suffer that. Remember, the future is nothing else than the reincarnation of the thought. Einstein says that actually your imagination is a preview of what's next in your life. So we're speaking the same language here. What I'm trying to say is that there is a lot of people that would rather watch the Kardashian, watch football.
Dr. Louis Turi is I like to say that, even though you probably don't go by Louis all the time, Louis, but because it rhymes, it rolls off the tongue. Dr. Louis Turi is world famous
astropsychologist.
Let me back up and start all over. I'll get it straight here in a minute. As you know, Louis, I've been having a little trouble, just like you have medically, but you seem like you've recovered completely, and I'm so happy to hear that. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say, the way they bill you.
It's called astro and then psychology.
Okay. Thank you for the help, and I apologize for screwing up here, but we're not perfect yet.
You know the only
but
one.
I think I'm on the road if we can get through April. Sounds like that. Are you talking about that... as individuals, as a way to protect us on this upcoming event, or are you talking about it's just the best way to handle it?
Well, basically, anything under the stars is controlled by the stars and under the jurisdictions of the stars. What you got to do, you've got to go to drturi.com, you'll understand me better, and scroll down to Cosmic Journeys. It's a little banner, and under this little banner there is Dragon Supra Consciousness, and all you gotta do is to click on this link, and there you're gonna see me a couple years ago where I this little video will tell you a little bit more how important it is to think positive. Remember, Jerry, a magnet will not attract a piece of wood. It's just the law. Humans have not yet realized. And if you take a compass, it's going to point out north, which means naturally all the thoughts are going negative. They're going north because that's the way the system is set. Humanity has not yet realized that we are constantly creating our reality at the personal level and as a global level. On that little video, Cosmic Journey, Dragon Supra Consciousness, I explain to people how important it is just before they go to bed, just before they fall asleep, to have a thought, not to make more money, to find a job, or to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or even to be healthy. Have a thought for the world. Have a thought that is positive. Trillions of thoughts becomes very heavy and a very powerful force that humanity has not yet learned how to reckon with. And that's what the problem is. Humanity is not aware every single day when you're bombarded with negativity, sensationalism. What you're doing is adding to the negative flux. And I just use the negative flux because I know the future has and will always be my utmost faithful witness, because I'm using that energy to prove to you that you're going to help me by your expectation to create those nasty news. And it's not
the future. You know, Doctor, go ahead.
What I'm trying to say is not the people listening to your show that are going to make a difference. Is when you have reached enough people, when you own a position in the media, a position like the Pope or a position like the Dalai Lama, that you are able to make the changes. But when Pope Francis and the Dalai Lama, like President Obama or Putin, are non-cosmic conscious, how can you make a difference in the world? The people that are supposed to be the representant of God in this earth do not know God. They do not understand the mechanics of the universe. They never have had contact with extraterrestrials. Or simply, they were not born with the right UCI or the right unique celestial identity to enter the archetypal realm of consciousness and explain things that are well ahead of time and 50 years into the future. So that's why I said we only have 50 years to turn things around and to rebuild our faith, our connection with God, not the God you've been trained to fear that's going to send you to hell, a God free of fear, a God intelligent, a God that you understand speaks through the stars and through the signs. And that's where we are at, Jerry. That's where we're at.
Dr. Turi, I want to ask you something after, the last 10 minutes, almost anything we ask on a different subject's got to be anticlimactic, but I'm going to ask you something about, and I've wanted to talk to you about this before, and that is, we hear about missing people, in fact, thousands of missing persons every year. What happens to these people, you figure? I mean, I guess just different things. Have you ever been asked to contact or find somebody?
Yes. Well, basically, first of all, you have a lot of plutonic souls out there. Plutonic souls are the people that looks for position of power. They aim towards a job as police officers or as priests. And, they are rotten cops and rotten priests that use and abuse children. And you got a lot of plutonic souls out there that, would just do everything they can to steal people and to put them on the sex game, so to speak. That is one plausible or rational explanation to what happened to a great number of people and children that disappear. Now, there is also extraterrestrials. It's like if you have a If you want to raise some chicken, now and then you're going to pick some of these chicken and find out who are the best that can reproduce, so to speak. So there are a group of extraterrestrials that have a very specific purpose, and that is to check on animals, to check on humans, and eventually take some sample. They take the sample dead or alive, put it this way. But in order for extraterrestrial to be really interested and be a chosen one, you have to be above the norm. You have to be above normal means an interest to them. Why would they be interested in me and not someone else, for example? Well, they already did that with me, obviously, because they have contacted me very, very physically. We're not talking about walking. We're not talking about a dream. We are talking about extraterrestrial face-to-face, as far as I'm concerned. So there is many, many hierarchy of extraterrestrial. There's many, many groups out there that have very different agenda. And it's like, you know, from the government, from the president all the way down to the people who makes your taxes. So you got to understand the dynamics. And it can be very confusing because there's so many of them. And ultimately, the one that are particularly in charge of this world, I call him the gardeners of the world. They're making sure that other races that are more interested for primal needs or looking for gold, that they're not, you know, allowed in our particular solar system. Do I make sense?
Yes. You always make sense, Dr. Turing, world famous, as a matter of fact, astropsychologist. I see now I got it out.
Thank you. Yeah, I teach my student how to pronounce two words, astropsychology. It's simple once you train. You know, some people are visual, some people are audible, so you have to be able to approach their needs, their mental need in a specific way. This is how I teach. I use a lot of symbols, a lot of metaphor. When I teach, you don't even know. There is no mathematics in my work, even though that I have designed a software. The software I use is based upon Nostradamus methodology, and you have to remember 500 years ago, Nostradamus didn't have a watch. So modern astrology used the Gregorian calendar, and some use different calendars. So what I did is kind of revamp all that and made a software that put the stars exactly where they belong before the Julius Caesars played with the calendar, because he didn't want his politician to be in power for too long.
Sounds like some of that's going on today.
You bet. You know, it's amazing when you have people in power that have no cosmic consciousness. I see them as peon. I see them as robot, neurotically, subconsciously acting out their stars or their UCI or unique celestial identity. These people are in charge of our destiny, in charge of our lives. They don't even know who the hell they are. I mean, how can you, in the name of God, how can you have a society that runs smooth when the leaders themselves are no cosmic conscious and trust their infantile science and religious, you know, doctrines? That's insane. That's why in 50 years from now, if we make it, Jerry, it's going to be a very different world where everybody will speak a language, where everybody will understand God as it is. The scientists want, or the atheists and the agnostics and the skeptic, they will not laugh at God, saying, "Oh, well, that's an act of God. That's not true." And then you're going to have the Christians who are going to understand God as he really is, outside of the manipulation of the Vatican. Let me bring you back 2,000 years ago, Jerry. Okay. Now, there were three guys following the stars, okay? Those three wise men, or those three kings, were nothing else than ETs, astrologers. They knew, by looking at the stars like I do today, that the little Jesus was going to be the starter of an age, or the age of Pisces. And the ETs taught Jesus all the secrets of the cosmic codes as for Jesus through the 12 apostles, the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 hours of the day, the 12 months of the year, the 12 sins, the 12 jury, the 12 tribe of Israel, the year 2012, to introduce humanity to our Father in the heavens. But Plutonic manipulative souls did not want you to have access to supra consciousness and to supreme wisdom. So they alter Jesus' initial cosmic ministry. And what you have is a big, huge, thick book called the Bible or the Torah, and a bunch of schizophrenic people banging their head against the wall because they've lost God and they're going crazy. And it's, you know, that's the way I try to explain to people the way you have been introduced to Jesus, the way you have been introduced to religion, benefit the corporation called the Vatican. The Vatican is loaded with astrological relics in the 70 miles of secret library under the Vatican. Pictures of the dragon, the stars, and all the signs are all over the walls in the Vatican. And if you Google Dead Sea Scrolls secret and add Dr. Turing, or if you want to know about gays, just write gays and Dr. Turing, you're going to end up with a newsletter that I wrote about the Dead Sea Scroll, where you will see that the oldest mosaic discovered in Israel under a church was the sign of Pisces. Knowing that Christians have subconsciously chosen the symbol of Pisces to represent the soul aiming up streams towards the light, towards the face, towards the cosmic tools of God, or the negative fish swimming towards one of the 875 different denominations. The positive fish has created Einstein, Michelangelo, George Washington, Dr. Turing. We're all swimming upstream. The negative fish has created Joel Osteen and Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden was born in March. He's a Pisces. And where did he end up? In the bottom of the ocean, exactly as I predicted it would. This is serious, Jerry. People need to wake up to that extraordinarily new cosmic consciousness and the reevaluation of God. It's happening, and it is happening through the age of Aquarius and through the help of people like you and me that have been karmically set to push forward the thought of the future and ETs. I hope it still makes sense.
Dr. Turing, when we think about you're a predictor of the future, and you have an amazing record. Have you ever tried to figure out how much your predictions pan out? I think they're pretty high, 91% a year or something.
Well, basically, if you go on the internet, you could check. You got to do your mental gymnastics. You have to do your homework to realize if I'm real or not. But you're going to be the judge. I give you some dates. I mean, you're going to be judging very soon, April 15, 16, 17, and April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. I gave you my bit. Then you're going to be the judge. I'd say 100%, and I'm being just real. I'm not making it up. You see.
So, you're right. That's not very far away, and those predictions, now you got them posted so people can look at them. And
Oh, yes. The sad reality is, you know, when you are very confident the way I am, and when you're on a very fiery and airy dragons like I have, people misjudge me and they see me as an egocentric. They're taking my confidence and my gift as an ego trip. That's ridiculous. And those people have an insecurity or an inferiority complex because they have an education or because they cannot connect with me. So they're going to try to find any excuse to see me as an egocentric instead of trying to benefit from what I'm trying to say to them. These are definitely things that I have to be cautious when I mention the level of accuracy I have. Because these are the people that assume that I am connected with Mrs. Clare or I'm a psychic. They never did the background check and understand my methodology, look at the software I use, or even check on all my predictions. Luckily, they are all on the internet and forever. So that's what works for me.
Well, I'm still going back to the events that you predicted about the April. It's pretty astounding and frightful in many ways. Perhaps I'm misreading it. Maybe I should be joyful. If we get past that, maybe things will be brighter.
Oh, no, we will pass it, Jerry. That's the good news. I want to confirm it right away. We will pass it. You know, let me bring you back. When I wrote about 9/11, and you can type Dr. Turing 9/11 prediction, but you have to put my name behind anything you ask on Google, and then it will bring you to tons of material that I wrote. For me, to write a year before everything that would transpire on 9/11, and to tell at the very end in block letter, in capital letter, that the government will take drastic actions on that very 9/11 day when it all transpired. Well, when I was on Coast to Coast again with George Norrie, giving him the exact date of Katrina and telling him thousands upon thousands of people would be forced to relocate, people did not hear me. Many of them, I think 90% of them did not hear me, but some did. So we're going to see. I give you those dates. I give you the keywords. I give you the quatrain. And I already know, regardless how bad it's going to be, we're going to get some nasty news for the next 3 days, 2 or 3 days, with the police, with drama, with the government. I can already see this coming. It may be something to do with those cattle in I think it's in Nevada. Is that correct?
Well, where they had the... the government rounded them up from the rancher, and then they had a lot of protests and had to move it back.
But that's not yet. The energy is not focusing yet. The energy start to build today. Tomorrow, by the way. The energy start to build today. And the manpower of this energy will be transpiring between the 15 and the 17. So what do you think is going to happen out there? Okay? Don't expect anything nice. Now, it doesn't have to be just in Nevada. It could be a terrorist attack somewhere else in the world. This energy is worldwide. I'm not dealing on a personal level, looking at you and talking about your health, your finance, your career, your love life, your money area. I'm not dealing with you personally. I'm dealing objectively with the world. So what's cooking in Nevada, I wrote about it last year in my book, Moon Power. I'm giving the date of April 15, 16, and 17 a year ago, telling you to be ready for the police, for the FBI, for drama, for death, for terrorist attack, for crazy people killing people. And look what happened. It's happening.
Yeah. Several things, but you're right on it. But several things happened.
Yeah, but you know, when I push you to April 23rd, 24th, and 25th, that's farther down the line. It's the next negative window that's coming up. And when I tell you the keyword will be shocking news and nukes and Japan and volcano and tornado and explosions and news about 370, I'm already giving you the news ahead of time. That's why people will call me Dr. Cherry CNN before CNN. But I don't have yet the attention that I deserve by the people that are in control of the system. They do not want me there. The scientific religious matrixes do not want Dr. Turing to have a stage. That's why no long ago my website were hijacked. It took me forever to bring them up. In fact, I had to change server and get one which is much more secure. I'm bombarded with hits from Russia, from Moscow, from the NSA, from the FBI. I had visits. They came to my house, Jerry. Two FBI agents came in my house.
Tell me what happened there.
Well, CIA agents from so many countries are digging into my work. In fact, I had last 6 months of all my Cosmic Code newsletters stolen. All that I taught, all that I teach, all the prediction. 6 months' worth since last August, everything was stolen. All those newsletters are gone. And I had to go through hell trying to recuperate those from some of the old, where I saved them in some of the places. But,
now,
you know.
What do you think about, you know, I got this serious bout of cancer and other things, and I was a healthy man. You all of a sudden came up with cancer, and you know, what do you think's happening there? Is that just coincidence?
No, no, no. I was born with Saturn in the sign of Virgo. Saturn is the great malefic in the medical aspect of my work, and Saturn slows down and the building of certain parts of the body in the embryo. When you're being made in the fetus, the Saturn freezing energy stops the full development and makes it very vulnerable to infection organism or even to cancer. So if you have Saturn in Aries, you're prone to brain cancer. If you got, depending on where your Saturn is, you're prone to bring that to you. When it happened to me, the tail of the dragon was in my house of health. So I was predicting that I was predicting that Clinton was going to go to a hospital. And at the same time that President Clinton was having his surgery on his heart, I was in Thailand having surgery on my colon. I was saying that those born in August and those born in February are going to be affected health-wise by the dragon. And this is why I'm saying that those born in April and those born in October are the target of the dragon. But you can have the moon, you can have the rising, the natal, or the hidden dragon, either in Libra or in Aries. Unless you do a consultation with me, you will not know where this dragon is and how he's going to get to you. And instead of letting the tail destroy your hell for your life, you want to ride ahead and make a good use of this dragon. People do not know. You know, you're going to get up sometime in the morning and you're going to be very depressed or very unhappy. You're going to have no power. It's one of these nasty days. I just developed what you call the cosmic biorhythm that allows you or anybody who have ordered the services to know exactly when they're going to be at the right time, at the right place with the right people. Or just the opposite. I just found this out. And it's incredible. But sad enough, again, the scientific and religious matrix control education and control the information. They don't want this type of information to go out there because there is a way for you to fix yourself without using medication. There is a way for you, if you feel depressed, to understand where it comes from and apply your will, which is the part of God in you. The part of God in you is stronger than the stars or the dragon. But if you're not cosmic conscious, you're going to pay the price of your ignorance. And that's why we're in hell, or you are in hell, if you don't have that cosmic awareness. Make sense again, Jerry?
Well, you always make sense, Dr. Jerry, and you have, as we kind of danced around the subject, but if you start analyzing what you've been saying over the years, you're pretty accurate. In fact, real accurate.
Thank you very much. So, again, there are no accidents, Jerry. There is only cosmic circumstances at play.
I guess you and I had the overlapping cosmic circumstances. We basically got cancer same time.
Yep, and the good news is that regardless, Jerry, you beat it. You're still there. You're 10 years ahead of me. Okay, and then look at the people that we know. Again, in reference to my good friend, Dr. Roger Lear, my good friend that died only a few weeks ago. I told him 3 years ago, David, stop smoking, my friend. The tail of the dragon is in your heart. You're going to have a heart attack. He laughed at me. He had his wake-up call when he ended up in a hospital, and he was telling me, you son of a gun, you told me he was going to have a heart attack. And then when he get out of the hospital, I look at him again. I said, David, my friend, you've got to stop smoking now. You got to stop smoking, man. This is real. I'm not joking. That's bad. Bad for your heart. Bad for your lungs. Yeah. 3 weeks ago, he passed away. Lung cancer. It was very hard to hold his hand and to see him go. It was very, very hard for me. A friend that I had for years.
Yeah, sometimes...
But you know what,
some people,
Jerry,
just don't...
Go ahead.
Some people just don't... I guess smoking is a habit. I've never smoked, so it's something that gets a hold of you, and I guess you rationalize it away because you want to keep smoking.
Well, I was a smoker since I stopped smoking. I was 12 years old. I stopped smoking about, 15 years ago now. But if you have a lot of Neptune in your chart, you're going to be a natural you're going to have that addictive personality. You can addict yourself to alcohol, to pot, to religion. You can addict yourself to absolutely anything. So if you have a very strong UCI loaded with Neptune, you are naturally going to be attracted into the nebulous zone, into the nirvana zone. And when you have very famous accredited doctor that actually endorse with, it's scary. But incidentally, this doctor was born in October. And if you go to drcherry.com and click on the sign of Libra in October, you will see that pretty much all of those born in October are okay. Naturally prone to addiction.
The time's got us, Dr. Cherry. It's up. I've got to continue. I'm going to talk about someone else that died here in a second, just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. He was 95 years old, and he was Art McQuitty. He was the editor of the Roswell newspaper. They had two newspapers back there in Roswell in 1947. Everybody. So we're going to play that in a minute. But we've got time to tell people how to get a hold of you. Your website and whatever else you want to push.
Okay. I want to tell you that I made my predictions. I am 6 feet under in Roswell in the city. They have a time capsule in Roswell, and for the 50th anniversary, they have asked me to make some predictions. So I am right there in the history of Roswell. They're going to take this out in the year 2050. So hopefully some people will be able to see my prediction by then. As I said, if you want to be part of the Cosmic Code, become a Cosmic Coder and learn all about the Cosmic Code and all that I do, you can email turitru@gmail.com. TURITRUE@gmail.com. TuriTrue. And then you'll get a 1 year subscriptions, which normally is $100. You're going to get it for $25. So either you email, and you can call also a 602-265-7667, and we'll take care of you. Until then, Jerry, my friend, I want to thank you so much for having me. And as always, I hope to hug you one more time wherever you'll be before I move to Florida and retire next year.
Okay, we will we'll be talking at least one more time, if not more, and do some more shows. Always had love having you on. Glad you beat the cancer rap. You I'm free of cancer at this point. So let's hope and pray it stays that way. Thanks very much, Dr. Turing.
You take it easy now, and good night, my friend.
Good night.
Bye-bye, Jerry.
Art McQuitty was the editor of the Roswell newspaper, and we were in Roswell several years ago, and this interview that we made with him was one of the last he did, actually. I think it was 3 years ago or four. And first of all, I'd like to thank Charles Fisher editor of the Roswell Daily Record, who told me about Art passing away, Art Curti. And by the way, the Roswell community is so lucky to have a publisher like Charles Fisher. He's open to all issues and all sides, and he's got one heck of a newspaper. So let's go ahead and listen to this interview recorded in Roswell, New Mexico.
Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from Roswell. We are at the Convention Center, and we have a 91-year-old man here who actually is not old at all, Art McQuitty. Welcome to the show.
The 7th of July in 1947, I was editor of the morning newspaper, the Roswell Morning Dispatch. We had a small paper, but nevertheless, we were out 6 days a week, and I've often laughed and said Roswell back in after World War II was a fanatic baseball town. The men of the town just loved professional baseball, followed it religiously, So that was our excuse for being a newspaper. I ran the box scores on the front page of the dispatch every day because the guy's radio wasn't even that good right after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys wanted to know what happened in the baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
We had a circulation of about 5,000 then, an old flatbed press that was 50 years old and sheet-fed and the hot metal shop, and obviously. So it was pretty quiet, and then about 11 o'clock that morning, Walter Haught, the public information officer at the base, or PR guy at the base, brought a two-paragraph press release in, and basically, and I don't remember it because, well, anyway, it said basically that wreckage of an unidentified flying object had been found on a ranch 45 miles north of Roswell, and it had been brought into the Walker Air Force Base. What happened, two nights before the 7th, there was a giant electrical storm north of town. We had one just the other night here, as a matter of fact. And it put on a good show for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And This old sheepherder who was up on the ranch up there, wasn't his ranch, he was just literally, but nevertheless, well, a decent man.
Mm-hmm.
He was used to thunder and lightning, but there was a particularly loud explosion, and he just assumed it was part of the electric storm. But the next day, when he went out in the pasture, he began to pick up pieces of something he'd never seen before. Well, I mean, see, that was on the 5th of July. It was on the 6th that he started picking up this stuff. And I don't know how much of it he took. None of us ever got a chance to see the wreckage except Jesse Marcells, the intelligence officer at the base. And I don't know what they called him back in those days when the Army Air Corps, but he took it over and showed it to his neighbors three or four miles away, maybe 5 miles away, and they said, "You ought to take this in and take it to the sheriff because this could be something that somebody might be interested in." And I'm paraphrasing; I don't know what the name. They advised him to take it into George Wilcox, the sheriff, and he didn't get around to it till that afternoon on July. No, he got it around to it that afternoon of July the 6th, and the sheriff called the Army Airfield and
So I guess that's how Jesse Marcel got involved.
So he came in kind of after work to pick this stuff up, and the story that we had, that the stuff he had were pieces of what looked like aluminum foil, but they were, as near as I could tell, he had them. The pieces he had were in a box. I mean, you know, like so. Well, he took the box home that night, and his little boy played with the stuff. And they took a cigarette lighter and tried to light it, and it wouldn't burn. And you could crimp it, and it would stamp right back. And so he assumed they had something that it was off of a crash site out 45 miles north of Roswell, and perhaps it was, I don't know whether he ever related it to an unidentified flying object or not, but after he got it from the sheriff, but he didn't take it out to the base till the next morning. And when they started looking at it out there, they said, well, look, this has got to be, considering this, how it happened, the explosion or the thunderclap, this has got to be wreckage of an unidentified flying object. Maybe, I don't know whether he had seen anything or not. I just don't know. But Walter Haught was the basic publicity director, whatever they called him. Anyway, Walter and Butch Blanchard, the commanding colonel out at the base, put together this little two-paragraph press release. Well, we had two radio stations in Roswell and the two newspapers, and I was the morning paper, so I always got the press releases from the Army Air Base last, because I didn't go to press till 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
Well, an awful lot of the good news stories broke around 5 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. So you had more stories.
Well, we got them, although, and that's another, I could talk for a half an hour about my fight with the Associated Press.
Yeah.
And the general manager of the AP in Dallas, I said to the governor of Texas, can go to the bathroom, we'll get 5 inches. If the president can get shot, and we'll get a paragraph from those guys over in Dallas. I was always fighting with them. But anyway, Walter had a good friend who was a part owner and an announcer on the new radio station, so he took the press release to him first. And this guy was not any dummy. He immediately called the Associated Press in Albuquerque, and they put it on the international radio, on the national radio.
You're right.
And I started getting telephone calls before I'd even gotten the press release. Walter finally got around to me about 11 o'clock. But it was a very exciting news day for me because I talked to all three of the daily papers in London. I talked to Paris Match. I talked to... I don't remember all of them now, but I spent pretty much the whole day answering the phone. They calls were coming from all over the world, and I thought about it later, and I realized that even though that was 1947, the Cold War was beginning to heat up a little bit, and people were worried to death about what was going on between the Soviets and the Americans. And... plus the fact that there had been multiple sightings of flying saucers reported, mostly out of the United States, but in other countries as well. So people were thinking about these things, and so when the word came out that wreckage of one had been found in this little small city in New Mexico, It triggered an awful lot of excitement
around the world.
And Walter called all four of us about 1 o'clock that afternoon, and he said, "Don't throw that press release away. I got to come pick it up because that wasn't wreckage of a flying saucer at all. It was the remains of a weather balloon." And I'd been a Navy pilot for 4 years in the Pacific, and we didn't spend much time with $25 weather balloons, yeah. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And we just flew when we had to. But I didn't know what had... I didn't have any idea really what had... what it was, but... and I'll try to talk fast. I don't want to take up your time, but... But the story was a gigantic story the day it broke, and it was the next day it was a dead story. It was the darndest phenomenon in newspapering for me because it was exciting, and then it was dead. And what I know happened.
Yeah.
And the rest is conjecture on my part because I'm kind of an amateur astronomer, and we darn near find a new thing out in space every week, it seems like.
We're talking with Art McQuinty, who was the editor of the newspaper in 1947 and was there when the UFO incident happened here in Roswell. But Art, you were more than just a newsman. You became friends with quite a few of these people, including Colonel Blanchard, right?
He was a very close friend of mine, and I'll just relate briefly. I flew PBYs in the Navy, a twin-engine amphibious bomber.
Yes, I know.
And by the end, by middle of 1945, we were doing almost exclusively air-sea rescue. My squadron had been on Midway, and one of our guys had been one of the fellows that found the Japanese fleet on the 5th of May in 1942 when they had the big fight.
Right.
And I think it was about the battle that changed the whole war because we sank three of their carriers. But I wasn't there, but my squadron was out there. And so I was... Five of us, five crews, five planes, we were sent up to Iwo Jima, and we were doing air-sea rescue of the B-29s to Japan. And people don't realize those B-29s were getting shot down, too. We were down on Guam, I'll never forget it, in a Quonset, a big Quonset hut, and Curtis LeMay was there. He was commanding general of SAC. I don't know whether they call it SAC then or not, but later SAC. And he got up at the podium and said, and this was early when the B-29s had just really started coming to Saipan and Tinian. He said, "You've been bombing at 30,000 feet and you can't even hit Japan from this day on. You're not going to go above 5,000 feet. And I want you to do a decent bombing job. And if some of you get shot down, this is a war." And that's darn near verbatim what he said. He was a tough guy, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So we were numbing the guys up to, and goodness, by that time we had one of us at 100 miles, one of us at 200, a destroyer at 300, a submarine in Tokyo Bay. If the guys got their engine shot out, if they could get out and get away from Japan, we had a pretty darn good chance to save them. And in the course of that, I had saved, I don't say saved, but I had found guys that had to ditch. And one of them, particularly close to Chichijima, which worried all of us, we had to circle him all night because we couldn't land and pick them up. The weather was bad, and there was the closest destroyer was going to take them about 8 hours to get over to pick them up. But this created helped make my friendship with Butch Blanchard a really good friendship, and plus the fact that he was a delightful guy, and I liked him a lot. And being an old Navy pilot, I mean, you know, weeks later, seems like weeks, it probably was not even a month, he and I were in the bar of the Officers Club late one night. You know all these stories. And every time we were together, I said, "Come on, Butch, now tell me, what really happened? I said, I know about the nurse and Glenn Dennis, and I know about the 100 guys that went out there and walked through the pasture, and I know that you closed the highway between Vaughn and Roswell for 2 days, and I said, I know all about those things. He said, I don't talk about that. But that night he said, well, I'll tell you this. I saw something I've never seen before, and I hope I never see again. Mm-hmm. Well, I sobered up in a minute. You know, I was really...
You had a story, obviously.
I thought I did. He said, I shouldn't have said that. I'm not supposed to talk about any of that. And he said, I got my ass in a
He was talking about the press release, right? I mean... well, he might have got in trouble there, but he was able to go on up the ladder and become a four-star general before he passed away.
Admit that, but he never would talk about it. It's hard to keep track of in a time period like that. But later, there was a story in the New York Times, a national story. He had been in Moscow, Russia, and had gotten into a drinking contest with some Russian pilots, mm-hmm. and he said he could outdrink them, and he did. He drank about a gallon of vodka or something, according to this story. And I thought to myself, that's Blanchard if I ever knew him. He was a delightful guy.
Yeah, and you guys called him Butch, right?
I mean, yeah, well, his name was Bill, but he was kind of, you know, short haircut and all that, and he'd been skipper of the 509th, I guess, and I'd saved some of the... Some of the crews I saved were from the 509th. And
you have anyone else talk to you about it?
Well, not really.
Not on the record, of course.
Nobody would even talk to me, and I didn't pursue it that diligently because they say the story died so fast. But I don't know. Glenn Dennis now is pretty ill, so I doubt that you. I don't know whether you met.
Oh, I know Glenn.
Yeah. You know, well, if you know Glenn, you know the kind of person he is.
Yes.
And nobody that was involved in any of this after Glow made any money out of it. There wasn't any con jobs going on or guys coming in saying, yeah, I saw one. They got out and they shook hands with me. There was no lying going on as far as I know. And I love Glenn's story, you know, goodness sakes.
He always stuck with that story, too.
Well, it was a true story.
Yeah.
He's sitting down there at the funeral home, and the nurse he's been going with calls and asks if they have children's caskets. And he said, I don't know. I'll go up in the attic and see. And he said, I'll call you back. And she said, no, Glenn, I'm on a phone where you can't call me back. She said, I'll just hold. He came back, and he said, well, we have 3 children's caskets. And she said, well, bring them out. But don't take them to the hospital. She said, I'm in another building, and when you get here, if I'm not out there, just put them on the grass and get away as fast as you can. You don't want to be involved in any of this. He didn't know what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Glenn.
None of us,
and you know about as much as I know anyway, but none of us had any reason to try to amplify it or make something out of it. It just wasn't that kind of...
Did you know the nurse?
No, I had never met her.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know Glenn that well then. I later was married to a Roswell girl. She and Glenn were in the same class in high school, and he and I did become good friends. He was quite a talented sculptor. He made miniature sculpts like Raj Asin over at the museum, and he had a very good form
Were you still in Roswell when they opened up that museum, or you'd already?
Well, I would.
I know you got out of journalism later and got a real job.
Yeah, I got a real job. And
teasing you. I've been in this field all my life.
We were married in 1949, and we moved to Los Angeles in 1950, mm-hmm. and I went into a new field called public relations, you know, like probably called corporate publicity for years of it. But basically, it was a new kind of corporate field and a kind of government information field for, and they were looking for how I got into it. Jack Campbell, who was later governor of the state, came by the dispatch office one day and said, I knew Jack casually. He was in a good law firm here, Atwood Malone and Campbell. And Ross Malone, again, I'm digesting to divert. But Ross Malone was later vice president and general counsel of General Motors. And the youngest president of the American Bar Association they've ever had. And here he is, a Roswell lawyer and a delightful guy. And Jack said, anyway, he said, I'm running the Oil and Gas Association here, and he said, I'm going back to private law practice, and the association is looking for what they call public relations, and they're trying to hire newspaper editors to do it. Would you be interested in the job? And I said, well, how much does it pay?
Right.
Getting ready to get married, so I left the paper and became secretary of the New Mexico Oil and Gas Association, which basically, fundamentally, the job was lobbying in the legislature. And at that time, you didn't have to have a pass or anything. There were only three of us.
Yeah, you could just go see anybody, right?
Well, one of the three of us that were lobbyists, the vice president of Kennecott Copper from Silver City was their lobbyist, and then the Nature Pass had a lobbyist, and we were it. So
Art, you were an eyewitness to history back in 1947, and you've had plenty of time to think about it. You really believe something happened out there. I mean, an E.T., a flying saucer.
As we talked about this around town after the fact, Barbara and Bob Anderson, our local billionaire, they stopped their car coming back from Santa Fe one day and watched the flying saucer. And another oil man, Bert Murphy, and his wife Martha, very, very dependable people. He had his own little private plane. They were coming back from Artesia and stopped twice to look at see flying saucers. And probably the most conservative guy in Roswell owned a hardware store, Wilmot Hardware Store, and Hinton Wilmot was rocking on his front porch and saw a flying saucer.
So they were around.
Well, reputable people were so people. You know, Bob Anderson spent his life in an airplane after he was chairman of Atlantic Richfield, and I've never talked to Barbara about it, but. He told me about it once, such as it was. But it was I just happen to believe that it's.
You're convinced it's real, right?
Periodically, you'll see a little squib. Now, as recent as sometime last year, they had multiple sightings down off of Perth, Australia. Well, that's the end of the world. If you know where Perth is, I mean, God, it
makes Roswell look like a real urban area.
Well, it could make Roswell. They're just way down on the other side of Australia all by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't be a bad place to be. As a matter of fact, Roswell's not a bad place. Basically, that's what little I know about it. But we had a secretary or vice president, chairman of the paid employee of the Roswell Chamber of Commerce, and he had been out at the base, enlisted man, and he was one of the 100 that they took up and walked through the pasture home. He said had their arms linked together, so looking for more wreckage, and
so that's a lot of effort to look for a weather.
Well, there was then a lot of efforts to look for a damn $25 weather.
And I think with that, we'll leave. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.